Hello children, welcome back to Guru Gedara program, English literature. Actually, though we call English literature, the correct name of the subject is Appreciation of English Literary Texts. When it comes to English literary texts, poems play a major role in English literature. Poems come under poetry. Even in our textbook, anthology, which is the pupil's text, we have 20 poems under poetry section. The poetry section further divided into 5 major themes: nature, conflict, society, humor, life. Out of those 5 themes, we have already focused our attention on the theme society, because in our early lesson we studied Big Match 1983. In that poem, we got to know how a very serious social issue troubled our country. So today, in our lesson, let me focus your attention to another major theme, nature. When it comes to nature, it is a wide theme. Under nature, we can talk hundreds of things, because nature is very much close to us. What is nature? You know, everything, one would say that all living things around us is nature. Yeah, that's true. That's true. Every natural thing, not man-made things, all natural things are nature. So the nature, as you know, nature created itself. Nobody made the nature. It formed on its own. So the nature is a very independent element. Nobody can control it. When it comes to the major characteristics of nature, you know, the nature is uncontrollable. It depends on itself. It's free. On the other hand, nature is dangerous. Sometimes it becomes really rude and cruel. The nature reacts in a very disastrous way. If you can remember tsunami wave that attacks Sri Lankan shores, it kills thousands of people. So that is one reaction of nature. But on the other hand, nature is somewhat sacred. Now you may have seen nature is sacred written on boards, because in one way, without nature we can't live. So we'll have to respect it as something which have divine qualities. Divine qualities. What do you mean by divine qualities? Characteristics of God. If somebody has the features of a God, we can call it divine quality. So the nature too has divine qualities to a certain level. So in the poem we have selected today, To the Nile, you may see how nature is taken as something divine. Now, To the Nile, by the name you can understand the Nile is a river. Now I want to tell you by now, rivers are also a part of nature, because the water bodies on the earth created itself along with the nature. So it's a part of nature. So we are learning about the Nile means we are learning about the nature. So the poet John Keats, a British poet, he is considered to be a romantic poet. Who is a romantic poet? Don't misunderstand. A romantic poet is not a person who writes about love. But he is a person who loves nature. So the poets who loved nature and who wrote, and the poets who wrote about nature were called romantic poets. So to the Nihilists also a kind of a romantic poet, because it gives a detailed description of the River Nile. Now you know River Nile is located in the African continent, in Africa, to the eastern side of Africa. You know there is a very long mountain range. If I tell you the name Ruwenzori Mountains, what's that? Ruwenzori Mountains. Now the ancient people in Africa, who were the ancient people in Africa? The black people. In other words, Swart Nation. If I tell you another name, Nubiles. So those black people, those Nubiles, those Swart Nation, call this Ruwenzori Mountains Moon Mountains. Why it is called Moon Mountains? Because these mountains all the time covered with white snow. The mountain tops, summits, the peaks of the mountains, they are covered with white snow. So during the 24 hours time, the summits of the mountains appears to be shining silver. How this happens? During the daytime, the sunshine makes it shine in silver. During the night, the moonlight makes it shine in silver. So, they were also called moon mountains because of the silver color it appears all the time. And the other point is, the black Africans, they thought that this mountain range has some kind of divine power. So, they treated it as a god. They venerated it. They thought that it has some holy kind of power. So you know the River Nile starts from the feet of the mountains with the waters that drains through the mountain. So they used to treat the river also in a holy manner, and they sacred it in a very sacred manner. Right. So the poem is written by John Keats. John Keats is a British poet. If I add a little bit more to his description, he is a romantic poet. Now, you know, romantic poet in the sense is not a person who writes about love, but he writes about love towards the nature. Because romantic poets usually believe that wisdom can be gained through nature. So, they wrote poems about natural elements and their beauty. The Nile River is a natural element. So while the poet describes the beauty of the River Nile, he also describes how it was venerated by ancient Africans. Okay. If I start from the beginning, son of all moon mountains African, chief of the pyramid and crocodiles. See that? Son of all moon mountains African. So as I told you earlier, the river is regarded as a son of the moon mountains. And also it is regarded as the chief of the pyramid and crocodile. Chief of the pyramid and crocodile. How it happens, chief of the pyramid and crocodiles? Now you know, pyramid is a kind of ancient structure built on the bank of the River Nile. So, because of the erection was made on the bank of the river is titled as chief of those pyramids. On the other hand, pyramids won't be a success if the river is not existed there. So, the river can be regarded as the chief of the pyramid. So why crocodile mentioned here? Now crocodile is an animal, an aquatic animal. So in a river, in a long river like Nile, you know, it's teeming with crocodiles. So because of the crocodiles, it is also termed as chief of the crocodile, because again for their survival the river is a must. We call thee fruitful, and that very while a desert fills our scene's inward span. So that is the third and fourth line. We call thee fruitful. So we address you as you are a fruitful river. And you know what actually happens. Here, when the river is called fruitful, at the same time, a desert fills our seeing's inward span. That actually means a desert. A desert is a barren land. A barren means infertile. Doesn't grow anything. Only sand is there. So, a barren infertile land is created as a mind picture in we readers. So, that's why the poet says, a desert fills our scene's inward span. Okay? If I repeat the thing again, the poet has a problem now. He is perplexed. His question is, if we call the river a successful, fruitful river, a river which nourishes the land well and gives nourishment to the black sword nations in the country, we get a picture of a desert in our mind. That is the problem. If the whole land is made fertile, why this desert is still a desert? That is the question the poet has.